This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come. This is the Eat, Sleep, Believe, Repeat podcast. Your weekly AEW review and breakdown, introducing first the most electrifying man in all of our professional wrestling podcast, Gnarly Charlie.
Oh my goodness, that was beautiful.
And I am the other half of our hosting duo. They call me the Duke. They call me the Digital Phantom. I am Bane Duke, also known as the Duke of Derbs. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just wonderful, Garrett. That was a fucking amazing intro. We had a good week of wrestling. We had some long matches this week, brother. And yeah, man, we had some fucking just great news, man. Like, I don't know. This is going to be fun.
There's some news. I didn't even know there was news. Shit. I guess I had to throw to news. All right. Fuck. All right. I didn't even know. Shit. What? I mean, I know news happened, I'm sure, but I just had my brain.
Oh, yeah. yeah. Like on Rampage at the end when we got some interesting shit to break into.
Yeah. We'll talk about that when we get there. But anyway. There was some good wrestling this week. There was some okay wrestling this week as well. Not every week is going to be the week that I'm like, let's go. You know, like.
Oh, but yeah.
This week was still good. There was some really good stuff on it, especially if you're like an old school wrestling fan. There was some really good stuff on there. We'll do what we do every week, which is the first. Before we get into some of the other stuff, I'm going to go ahead and take care of a couple of orders of business off the top of my head, which is, first and foremost, make sure you guys follow and or subscribe on whatever platform you are listening to this, be that Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. And if you want to as well, make sure you leave a review and like ask us a little question if you want to. We'll definitely get to it next week, if there is any. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at Bane Duke, BaneDuke, and you can find Charlie at Charlie with an X instead of an A. There's also a YouTube channel where you can find us. We do a regular podcast. I don't know what we're doing this week, if we're even doing anything this week. But we do a movie review, upcoming rumors, stuff like that. We just did a big breakdown.
You know what I think we'll do this week?
Doctor Strange.
Okay. We were just kind of talking about before we went on the air. We'll talk about the Book of Boba Fett and its finale.
Okay, absolutely. We'll do that for sure. We'll do that for sure. We didn't end up doing anything this last week because there just wasn't anything to talk about, really. And I was a little behind this week. I kind of fell off the face of the earth a little bit, but I'm back. I'm still alive. All right. And I think that's pretty much all the orders of business that I have to get through to take care of off the top. So without further ado, let's get straight into our favorites this week. And first, I'm actually going all the way to the end of the list of stuff that happened this week on Rampage, and I'm bringing us to Ricky Starks versus Jay Lethal. I thought this match was fantastic. There was a really great moment in the middle of it, by the way, for Dante Martin, where even though he wasn't in this match, he still got a little moment where he was like, he got to do a little thing and it was nice. And him and Hobbs are still building their feud up. I cannot wait for freaking the Will Hobbs match. It's going to be insane. Last one was anything to say, it's gonna be really insane, especially because Hobbs can freaking go, apparently, you know, which we already knew, but we didn't know. You don't know until you see it, you know.
The Hangman match, and then it felt like it's been a little bit, but now he's fucking rolling, man.
Absolutely. And then Jay Lethal is just money, man. He's absolutely money, and I love everything that the guy does. Every time that I see him in a match on AEW right now, I just am like, why is this guy not feuding with somebody on TV right now? Why is this guy not in the middle of something? How is he not, why has he not been thrown in with the Matt Sydal and Lee Moriarty thing? Why is that not a thing? They just fit so perfectly together. I guess he sort of has, but like,
loose. And now it might be safe to say, I mean, the spot that Leo was in, I think he might be just taking it over. So we might see more of him here.
It could be. I mean, I could totally see Jay Lethal wanting to be that guy, especially if they were like, hey guys, we need somebody that's a veteran that we can like put. He's great, but we just want to put him with somebody so people see him. The finish of this match was fantastic. It was a great spot. It was a reversal of the Lethal Injection, I believe, into the Rochambeau, which is just brilliant. I mean,
fucking like, beautiful.
It looked great too. And Ricky Starks, I say this every time the guy wrestles, and I'm going to continue to say it. And I say this about a couple of other people. Every time he hits a move, it just looks clean and crisp, man. It just looks snug. You know what I mean? Like, it looks great. I believe him when I'm watching him. I really like Ricky Starks, man. I really want to see Jay Lethal get a bigger push and a bigger spot in the show. But man, Ricky Starks, you know what's crazy? Ricky Starks is not technically a champion AAW. He's just a champion that happens to be working in AEW right now and kicking the title around. It's essentially the same thing as when like a
Impact talent shows unsanctioned up title. Company.
Essentially. Well, not even essentially. It's literally unsanctioned. But man, it's so cool that he can make you feel something anyway. Like if he loses that title, it matters. You know what I mean? Like, cause it's not recognized. So if he loses that title, it really is like, you know what I mean?
I don't know what the hell is going on with this title, man, but they are fucking, this and the last like
two or three matches,
like, yeah, he's on fire.
Ricky Starks is trying to be like the guy that gets them to recognize the title or something. Like it's crazy. Like the FTW championship is like a big bet on yourself to carry around a championship and to defend it. You know, because like it's almost like you're saying like nobody can take this from me, even if they tried. You know, it's just really cool. I really like this match. I need to use the restroom really quickly. So while you're talking about this match, I'm going to go ahead and do that really quickly. But
yeah.
I just wanted to get all that stuff in. Like, what did you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, Ricky Starks, he's a young guy too. He's 31 years old, coming off that injury. And I got to be honest, man, I just think that this guy has some serious untouched potential. And something we talk a lot about is the pillars of AEW. And I feel like Ricky Starks wasn't mentioned like at all during that discussion. Like, everyone kind of, you know, they would say Darby Allin, they would say MJF, Jungle Boy, Britt Baker, Sammy Guevara. And then we kind of like to talk into our own depth a little bit about what could be our pillars of AEW. And, I mean, we've mentioned recently Daniel Garcia, Dante Martin, Ricky Starks, and if he gets used a little more often. I mean, I don't think I'd be afraid to add Lee Moriarty to that list as well. Like, you could have these pillars of guys that are in the second wave, if you will. And Ricky Starks, I think, fits that. So we had Ricky Starks has now defended this title back-to-back months. He defended against Matt Sydal. He defended against Jay Lethal. Right. Both just beautiful matches. And honestly, I get excited by those matches. And this week against Jay Lethal was special, man. This Jay Lethal hasn't been used as much as we'd hoped, but we watched Dark and we see him used on Dark and we were like, they're prepping him for something.
Yeah.
And now I'm getting the vibe of potentially that tag team with Dante, or maybe they go full blown with this feud. Maybe Tony Khan sees this and is like, God damn. But I do think I'd like to a pitch where I'd like to see Jay Lethal. I wouldn't mind seeing him in his Face of the Revolution ladder match.
I'd be perfect. I mean, he does well in those kinds of situations. I would love it. This is going to be a regular guy, hopefully, in like the casino ladder matches and battle royals. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He just does good stuff.
And real quick, I want to get your thoughts on this. I was just kind of telling people, you know, they talk a lot often about these pillars. And I was like kind of saying, we can kind of create our own now. We've said before Daniel Garcia.
Yeah, that's my
We've said before fifth Dante pillar. Martin. We okay, could add Ricky six. Starks to that list.
I think so. I was thinking that myself as well.
And then I was saying as a potential fourth, if he starts getting used more, is Lee Moriarty.
I would agree. Those, I think, would be our four pillars. So yeah, what we observe is the people that are foundationally holding a lot of what they do together, and they're innovating, you know?
Ricky Starks. Like, but yeah, man, I'm with you. This match was fun. This went the length. Our boy got a spot.
I want an eight pillars match. The original four pillars versus our four pillars.
And you know what? I say fuck it. Let's get Ricky Starks in that match too, man. That Ricky Starks is a prime candidate to me to be like a world champion within the next like, 15 months. Yeah. He's the fuck the world champion, right? So but yeah, so just carrying right on to my favorites, also on Rampage, another championship match, Sammy Guevara versus Isaiah Cassidy. Now, I knew Isaiah Cassidy was good. Isaiah Cassidy's a single star.
That dude, yes. I mean, yeah.
Now, I don't want to just like draw for obvious comparisons, but they've been compared to them for their entire careers, and that's the Street Profits.
Okay.
And Montez Ford is so clearly a single star. Like, don't get me wrong. Now, when I say this, I'm not saying they're bad as a tag. What I'm saying is Isaiah Cassidy, his emotions, his wrestling in the ring, he is a future single star. But now getting into tag team and getting a great start is a great way to do it too. But this match, it really made me believe he has it. Like, it's that simple, man. And obviously, I'm going to give credit to Sammy where it's due. Sammy's fucking great. It's no coincidence Sammy puts on these great matches week in and week out.
Sammy two belts.
I liked how the belt was covering the tape, by the way.
Yeah.
Really dug that.
By the way, the first commercial break during this match felt really sudden and abrupt.
I would agree. I can't remember.
It was like it was the first picture-in-picture of the entire show.
Okay.
I'm not even kidding.
I was clicking through at that point.
It might not have been the first, but it was like one of the first picture-in-pictures we had.
Yeah, I did not catch Rand. I'm trying to find Isaiah Cassidy's age right now, but
I think he's like 23, maybe 25, something like that. He's in that range,
Shit, he was born in 97.
Okay, what how old does that make him?
Yeah, he's a young guy. That's 24.
Yeah, so I knew he was in that range. He's young, and he's that good. I mean, he's that good, and
I am very impressed. I thought he was going to be like 31 like Starks. I mean, Starks is young at 31.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing about Starks. A couple of the key notes here.
I mean, the Cutters were out of this world.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Hardy and Mark Quinn came out of nowhere, and they started fucking shit up. And then I think a little bit of the story after the match, obviously Sammy wins with his GTH. But after the match, Matt Hardy, Mark Quinn, Andrade, and Jose, the assistant, surround Sammy. And Garrett, I know they didn't tease it up this way, but Andrade's been trying to recruit Darby Allin, and then we hear his music. I honestly thought for a second he might have got him. And maybe he will. Maybe they're going to touch something like Andrade's going to buy him this title match with Tony Khan. So he lines up with Sammy and he's like getting ready to fight them, and then they leave the ring, and then he gets in Sammy's face like, "Look, I want you next." And that they're going to fucking burn the house.
Hold on a second. I don't know if I like the idea that Tony Khan is just selling title matches. Hold on.
No, but Andrade, remember he
paid. Yeah, but some of these people have like millionaire people as their advocates.
And Andrade, so like,
where's Jake the Snake? I mean, Jake the Snake's a bad example. Where's like Tully Blanchard's? Like,
no, not? I believe they've given us the intention, like in kayfabe, in lore, however you want to call it. I think Andrade is the richest man in the company. That's the intention.
Okay, I'd be willing to buy that. That's okay for me to. I could buy into that.
That's what I've become to believe on how they've booked him. Now,
even Matt Hardy brought him in, right? But like,
and now he owns 51% of that company, like. He paid MJF. He was giving money to MJF. He's so fucking rich. So that's the way I see it. I feel like he is the richest guy. That's
true. MJF is already rich. He doesn't need the money.
Yes. So it's like, yeah, man. Other than that, I kind of want to, not only was it the match, it was the whole segment. And I want to tee the question up to you. Is there a chance Darby is his first big signing to his group?
I want to say probably not, but I like that it's being teased that it could be.
It gives much more like, I mean, we've been talking about this. They're not going to throw away Andrade in the AHFO.
No,
they're going to try something
more people in and probably take some people out, I would think.
What if they split up Private Party?
I still think that's a good possibility. I
hope they don't yet. I want to see Private Party as a tag, but I wouldn't.
But the thing is, they're clearly never going to win the tag team championship. I'm not saying they should have won, they recently got a shot. Right? Yeah. But it seems like the only time they get title shots is when either A, someone was just crowned, or they're just not at the right moment to get the championship.
Back to back weeks. He wasn't going to win it against Sammy, and last week they just crowned.
Yeah, so like, I mean, so it's like, oh crap, I got rid of my notes. I had some freaking Yahoo Sports thing popped up about the Olympics or something. But anyway, Shout outs to the US team getting banned. All right.
Yeah.
Way to go, guys. You're really winning. Really showing up for America there. All right.
Speaking of Olympics, there's an Olympic skater on Celebrity Big Brother this year, and we cover Celebrity Big Brother on our YouTube channel, Visoki Entertainment. Garrett might be joining us this year, but right now it's me and a first-time Big Brother viewer named Mike. He hasn't been on this podcast before. We've known him for forever. And
I can't believe you got Mike to do a show.
Yeah, dude. I think it was we watched The Circle together, and I covered it once on the channel. But The Circle's hard to talk about because it's so like it's not how Big Brother is. And but he got really into that, and I he's like, I think after like 6 years, Brady finally convinced him to watch the show. And I was like, yeah. But yeah,
if a lot you guys of people have preconceived notions shit. About this show. So I can
quick
understand.
Plug if you guys watch that shit. It's also on my YouTube channel. Plug.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Do we want to hop into these dark results?
Sure. All right. Did I have anything else to add? Actually, I don't remember. Andrade interrupted at one point. It was a great match to open the show.
Needless to say, I think we liked Rampage, considering we just talked about 45 minutes of it.
Literally. And we spent like 15 minutes of the opening of the show on it. I just like, that's
I fucking love Rampage being an hour long is the most consistent wrestling show, like since those early NXT days a couple years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
We used to watch that shit all the time, man.
We would spend me and you for a while when we weren't watching wrestling regularly for a while. Would only watch NXT, and we did that for months. Watched several pay-per-views.
That's how far back Garrett and I go, man. We would be watching that shit on fucking Xbox. Like, just hold on. Oh my God, you hear that? Hold on. What's happening?
Wait, what is this?
I'm sorry. All right. How what happened on Dark Elevation this week?
All right, episode 48 of Elevation this week, and we had oh my God, Lance Archer, he's beaten to death.
Began with a murder,
literally an actual murder. I wrote in my notes, "My God, leave him be." These guys didn't even get interest. That's how much of jobbers they are.
I just want to believe that's actually how they opened up the fucking like
entire
rolling show.
His opponent to the ring.
I really hope that's how they opened up. Like. Everyone's just getting to their seats.
And Lance Archer's music hits. And all of a sudden, there's a guy rolling down the ramp.
It's 7:30, you know, half an hour until Dynamite starts. And they just see fucking Lance Archer throwing some dude.
Yeah, great thing to get the crowd going. So
right?
I think he says Cleveland, right? Or something like that. So maybe that's where they filmed it. I don't know.
Yeah, I believe it was Dynamite. Yeah.
By the way, people were like giving me crap, thinking, well, they don't just film random dark matches at every show and then, you know, like use some of the. They clearly do because the freaking stage changes in the middle of an episode.
Before and after, yeah. They literally shoot some of it before Dynamite and after.
And that's just known. But like some people want to be like, no, it's all shot. I'm like, shut the fuck up. Anyway, you finished him with the blackout. This match actually went a little bit longer than I thought it would. Honestly, it was like it was short still, but it wasn't like unnecessarily so.
He got the Evil Uno treatment from Adam Cole.
Absolutely. sheesh. All right. Match number two. We had Brandi Rhodes with Arn Anderson taking on Kylan King, who I've taken notes on several times.
Oh, yeah.
A standout talent. Kylan King got some entrance music, so she's now in the Anthony Greenland where you're not quite – Anthony Greenland, what a name. Anyway, if you get entrance music, it means they might sign you? Maybe.
Dude, I'm fully fucking down.
They gave her a couple of her own singles matches, I think, a few weeks back. So, like, whatever. Mm. But she got finished with the stretch mark. God, they got to come up with a better name for that. Brandi Rhodes is not on TV, but is somehow still on wrestling. I don't know how. And match number three, we had Jay Lethal, who was from Elizabeth, New Jersey. And Jay Lethal took on a jobber. He hit a phenomenal elbow drop that looked just like Macho Man's. And then he finished it with
I love that he does that.
Lethal injection. I know it looks exactly like Macho Man's. I'm not even kidding. Go back and watch like a compilation of Macho Man elbow drops, dude. It literally looks exactly like it. It's crazy. down to like the way he slightly didn't like cleanly land it so that it wouldn't hurt him. You know what I mean? Like, it's chef's kiss. Jay Lethal with the lethal injection for the win. Anna Jay was on a match this week. Anyway, and not, that wasn't about her, by the way. That was about something that me and Charlie talked about.
What are you doing, Stepbro?
Oh my god!
I'm sorry.
Oh no! If only they knew. Anyway, Anna Jay took on another jobber and took him out with the Queen Slayer.
Yeah, she's back to building up some victories.
So she's going to lose to somebody again. Okay.
Literally.
It's true, though. It's true, though. We had the Factory taking it on. I mean, I guess technically their Top Flight. They came out the Top Flight on the other show. So whatever. We had, what was it? People in this match? Dante Martin, Matt Sydal, and Lee Moriarty taking on QT Marshall, Aaron Solo, and Nick Camarato with Anthony Ogogo in tow. It's a nice six-man match. It was a really good pace to it. Dante is a really cool dude, and I finished him with a nosedive. So
it's my fucking dream trios team if we get the titles, man.
Come on, man. That's the team. I'm still saying that you but imagine like the eight-man match they could have with the Elite and
Lethal.
Yep. Anyway, give me Jay Lethal versus Frankie Kazarian, by the way. And yeah, Factory looked good. Top Flight looked good. It was okay. It wasn't like great, you know, like,
yeah, no, exactly.
Match number six, we have one of my favorite new tag teams that they should absolutely keep going for as long as they can, which is Ruby Soho and Thunder Rosa, which is not a tag team I ever thought I needed, man, but this is now match two and I'm still bought in. Like, this is, I'm down for this team. The No Future combined with the Fire Thunder Driver for the W. All right. And then our Dark Elevation main event, we had Pento El Cielo Miedo with Alex Abrahantes taking on Serpentico.
He's wrestling a lot now.
Yeah. I still say, yes. Give Penta the singles run. I don't know why they can't just do this. He had one, like, what, 2 years ago when Ray Phoenix was hurt?
Impact World Champion Penta.
Yeah, he's had some good singles success. This guy was really over when he was known as Pentagon, you know what I mean, like, all the time. Like, just, like, I don't know, man. Like, give the guy a chance. Maybe give him a TNT title shot. It'd be awesome.
Holy shit, imagine that.
Him versus freaking Sammy Guevara, dude? Come on. Anyway, and he finished with the package pile driver for the victory. Serpentico actually looked pretty good in this match. Serpentico, man, he's never going to be anything. And it sucks for him, but it's fun to watch.
Hey, he's got a role. That's all he probably asked for.
Yeah, absolutely. And that will take us to Dark episode 128.
Yeah, we had 90 minutes of stuff here, so we'll kind of fly through it a little bit. But the broadcast opens up with the Anthony Ogogo theme, so you guys already know to skip through that. No, I'm kidding.
Queen Elizabeth.
Oh, sorry.
Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah, he wins via knockout against a fella named Marcus Cross, who we've seen plenty of times. Second match, we got
the Penelope. Hold on. The KO finish was really awkward, bro.
Oh, yeah, it
needs to just be a knockout and then they call for the bell, or it just needs to not be a thing. Or like maybe like
Ogogo's totally coming back to TV for this Face of the Revolution, right?
I hope so. That'd be cool.
That's probably his return. He's 9
and they don't have a big man that seems like it's going to be in it, so maybe it'll be him. I don't know.
Penelope Ford is back facing Angela Risk, who's back again. And we don't know how this goes. Penelope Ford taps her out with the Moodle Lock. Pretty decent
this
match.
This was slow, man. What was the deal with this? Why did this match feel weird?
I just probably don't have the chemistry together, you know?
But Penelope Ford's good, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, she's bad. Like, she's just like, I just felt like, oh, I just never got it going.
So as it is with these Universals, a lot of the times we're just, like, we open the card up with just enhancement talents. It's kind of, it's a catch-22, right? So our third match, we got QT Marshall taking on another enhancement, Toa Leona. So they're just kind of prepping up QT Marshall for his hook match, which I'm guessing is probably going to be a Revolution.
Tony Iommi, by the way, I think he actually has something.
Yeah. He's got a couple things, man.
Like, I don't know. Like, he...
Diamond cutter victory from QT Marshall.
Yes.
And then we have 2.0 with Daniel Garcia facing Ish and Kid Bandit. Kid Bandit returns. I always see him trending on Twitter when he's... not trending, but all over AEW Twitter when he when he's back. So people like him. 2.0 picks up the victory. And...
Boring.
We're going to talk about 2.0 and Daniel Garcia during that Brian Danielson segment, man. Wow. Fifth match, Lance Archer doing the same thing.
Murdering another man.
That's five enhancements in a row. Sixth match, Marina Shafir beating an enhancement.
Everybody dies.
That song actually kicks ass.
It actually does. It's great.
Marina Shafir, I think she...
No, we had a Fuego del Promo.
Did we? Well, all right. You remember what he said? I don't see it.
No, that's why it wasn't talked about. Move on. All right.
Okay. Marina Shafir picking up another victory. She's probably low key just signed to Dark at this point. I believe she's been at every Universal taping. Doesn't make her any better.
I don't know what the hell is the deal with Marina Shafir, to be honest.
Standing leg capture triangle choke. I don't know. We just need the right opponent, right?
Give me her versus Janai Kai. That's the right opponent.
Yeah. So next week on AEW Dark, Fuego del Sol will battle Serpentico. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. He had a little promo where he decided to he threw his cool or something.
That'll be a fun little match. The Factory versus two more enhancement talents. Dante Casanova did stick out a little bit to me, though. But the Factory this time was Aaron Solo and Nick Camarado. Weird duo, but...
Weird finish. Backbreaker knee drop. I mean, it looks good.
I don't really vibe with these guys as a tag team. I'm going to be honest, man.
They're not really that good together, right? Like,
no, it's hey, but that's why they're on Dark. They're practicing getting good together. So
no,
I dig it for what it is.
They'll figure it out.
Bring them back again and roll it back. Hey, Tony Nese, the man of 205 Live, now the man of AEW Dark, and that's not an insult. I'm just saying, people might take that as an insult, but no, that's a good thing, man. He's on Dark almost week to week now, putting on good matches. Zach Clayton, we've mentioned him before. Not bad. Put on a pretty decent match. Tony Nese is now 8-1.
Wow, I'm surprised we have very different opinions on this match. I liked Nese in this match.
Oh, of course. I love Nese.
This is the worst appearance that I've seen from Zach Clayton so far.
Yeah.
It did not seem like he got much in, and what he did, it didn't look that great. I don't know what the deal was.
I don't know.
I think it's maybe his moveset's not extensive enough. I mean, I don't know. It felt like maybe he didn't want to be the guy losing to a guy that's just kind of rolling through that doesn't really have anything to do with him. I don't know.
Zach Clayton has a pretty famous wife, and I didn't even know this. His wife is JWoww from the Jersey Shore.
Oh, okay. Isn't he from the Jersey Shore?
I believe so. The guy's a stud, so it makes sense to me. You know what, Zach? I'm following you on Instagram. I'm GG. All right.
I didn't see it in this match, but I've seen it in the previous two times.
But he's one of those guys. We keep seeing him back to back. You know, bringing him into Dark's a good spot because he'll only get better. And we are in our ninth match now, and not a single one has been competitive, and it doesn't end here. Kira Hogan versus Maserati, first time in AEW. You have any?
Maserati sucked. Sorry.
All right, well, moving along. Kira Hogan with the win.
She did. I'm sorry.
10th match, the Dark Order. Alan Angels and Preston Vance versus Ari Daivari.
I've named this team 15, by the way. Actually, technically, it's 14 because negative one was out there.
That's fucking genius, actually. Ari Daivari and Invictus Cash. This was actually a pretty competitive match for a while.
Yo, Daivari?
I'm cool with it.
No, I like him. I like him. I just wanted to see him.
Yeah, let's get Ari Daivari versus Tony Nese in a fucking 25-minute barn burner.
I'm just saying. Anyway,
hey, man. We're fucking...
Daivari, actually, I really liked Daivari. Daivari had a fantastic... Daivari has one of my favorite segments ever, where he came out on the Saudi Arabia pay-per-view and just
crapped all over Saudi Arabia for like 10 minutes. And then his brother came out, who hadn't been seen in like a decade.
Vance made Cash tap out with the full Nelson lock. He's big enough to make that finish work. And my God, Garrett, in our 11th match, we finally have two AEW talents facing each other in a tag team of Dante Martin and Matt Sydal. Let's fucking go. Versus Bear Country. This is what I'm going to be honest, country. Man. This is why Bear Country.
Buried country.
But hey, they had a good match here. And they work well with Sydal and Dante Martin. But we shouldn't be surprised at that. We shouldn't be surprised.
No, they're good. That's what pisses me off about them. Man hit a moonsault, and he made it look like he actually would have hurt himself if he tried to do it. But I think he would have hit that clean, actually. Like,
yeah, Boulder. Yeah, when Boulder went for it.
Both. I was saying that I think that Bronson could have hit the one that he actually missed. Like, I think he could have actually hit that cleanly. And it made it look. He made it look like he over-rotated. Names, man. Yeah, they do.
Boulder's a fucking tough wrestling
name. Well, no, it's both of their first names are Bear, which is weird.
That's right. You're totally right. My bad. It's much better when you call him Bear Boulder.
Yeah.
But other than that, Dante Martin and Matt Sydal pick up the victory. Dante connected with the nosedive for it. Coincidence they're on TV twice this week?
Possibly.
We'll see. Just double checking to make sure it's the main event. And our 12th match, the main event. Joey Janela with Kayla Rossi versus Lee Moriarty. And my God, Kayla Rossi, do not go after Jay Cargill on Twitter. That got ugly quick for you.
Yikes.
I think they were fucking around, though. I'm sure Kayla is probably going to face Jade on like Dark or something.
Possibly.
And yeah, Joey versus Lee Moriarty. This was great, man. This was a fun Dark main event.
It was only semi-competitive, though, it felt like. It felt like Moriarty just didn't get that much in. Maybe he just doesn't have enough moves yet. I don't know, but like...
Maybe the story was he gets the come-from-behind victory.
I mean, yeah, because he did cover him with like a really interesting variation on a cover, which I thought was cool.
He replied for the victory. He gets his octopus stretch in, and then he connects to the European clutch to pick it up. I mean, hey, I think Lee is a likable guy. So just getting him out there, getting him victories at Universal, that's all I can ask for.
Yes.
So, all right, let's pop into, if it wants to. Na, 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 na. Well, if this doesn't work, how about Dark, huh? Or how about Dynamite?
I have notes on Dynamite and stuff, so I can take
it. All right, my computer's just freezing right now. So Dynamite starts Dynamite starts with John Moxley versus Wheeler Yuta. Now, real quick, we're not going to really discuss it, but this was supposed to be Moxley versus Brian Kendrick. Some shit that Kendrick said in the past came out, and Tony Khan doesn't stand for that shit. That's the way he says it.
I don't even know what it was. I just saw that he like is not a thing anymore. So
it's bad, man. And he doubles down on it. And it's, hey, man, everyone has got their own beliefs, but sometimes you can't say shit. And Tony Khan, you know, that's how he felt. He said he's not booking him on his show.
You need to leave.
That would be a perfect time if we had that soundbite. And yeah. So anyways, we get Moxley versus Yuta. And, you know, in a weird way, Garrett, I'm glad we did, because we talked about, probably for about a solid month,
how it felt like there was something missing with John Moxley.
And I was going to say how Moxley straight up fucking jobbed Wheeler Yuta out in that tournament.
Oh, this felt like the receipt for that.
That's a fucking great term for it. It just felt like the receipt. We needed this match for Wheeler Yuta because we know Wheeler Yuta is great. New Japan Wrestling knows Wheeler Yuta is great. But for some fucking reason, every time he goes on TV, it doesn't feel like they know he's great. This guy can go, man. He had a match on fucking Rampage a couple weeks ago that I picked as my favorite.
Literally.
But, yeah, this, like Jared said, this is the receipt of that match. This was fun. He came up there with Orange Cassidy and Danhausen. I don't know, Moxley and Danhausen.
Can I just say, it's like Orange Cassidy knows that I'm like the biggest mark for him ever. And it's like, he's like, oh, I'll get Danhausen over with this guy. No, you won't, Orange Cassidy. I still hate him.
I was kind of thinking it was a little
funny. Danhausen's a fucking heel for me, bro. I'm sorry.
Hey, that's okay. I think, I want to say Moxley looks fucking great, man.
He actually looks awesome.
He looks great.
He's turning it up slowly each match too, which I like.
And it's so nice. But the match was good, but I think the story is what happens after. So you want to...
Yeah, so I thought when this match ended, before you go on to what actually happened, what I thought was going to happen was Brian was going to do his regular thing where he sits at the top of the ramp and like kind of runs you down. Which is good. I thought that's what was going to happen and that was going to start a feud. I thought that's for sure what was happening here.
Okay.
I was surprised at what actually happened.
Yeah, and fucking meets him in the ring.
And then he goes through and he offers him this deal. Go through some of that stuff really quickly because it's just crazy.
Yeah, so pretty much Moxley gets the paradigm shift. And...
Let you to shine more, by the way. I agree with you. Let him be...
Yeah, they let him have an actual match.
A star. You know, like...
And so after the match, Moxley's still in the ring. He turns around and Brian Danielson is in the ring. Danielson asks the crowd if they should fight one-on-one. And then he says, we should not be fighting. We should be teaming. He says, there's no reason we should have a millennial cowboy be the AEW champion. There's no reason why a dinosaur should be a tag team champion. And there's no reason why a guy who creates vlogs should be the TNT champion. Danielson says they could change the industry and change others. He brings up Daniel Garcia, says he's wasting his time with 2.0. I'm paraphrasing there. He brings up Wheeler Yuta and Lee Moriarty. I don't find it a coincidence, those three guys. And Danielson tells him to think about it. And he sticks his hand out and tells Moxley to think about it. And he exits the ring, walks up the ramp while Moxley stays in the ring. So basically, he's pitching that they work together. They train the next generation of stars. Essentially, he wants to create a faction with him and John Moxley, and they just recruit younger AEW guys and fucking turn them into stars. He also mentioned Dante Martin. I didn't see that in that list, but I mean, Garrett, he's listing our guys. Brian, you watching this? Literally. Bro? What's going on, Brian?
Brian, do you listen to the show, bro? Brian, are you a fan? All right, anyway.
If you mentioned Starks, I would have jumped. that's it, bro. He's definitely listening.
What's crazy is I got this thought in my head when he mentioned Daniel Garcia, and I was thinking to myself, a faction of Daniel Garcia, John Moxley, and Brian Danielson would be insanity.
Just downright dumb.
Because what do we always talk about with both Danielson and Garcia? They have the best submission holds in AEW. Imagine if a guy like Garcia got to learn from a guy like Danielson.
Wow. Oh, man.
And imagine if he got Moxley's edge. Dude, you're talking about one of the greatest wrestlers of all time could come out of that, you know? Even if he was just with him for a bit, you know? That's... Another thing that AEW is going to tease that is just going to be there to upset us when it doesn't happen. But, man, that is a hell of a proposal.
Agreed. It could happen, though. We've been shocked by this before.
We didn't think Dante would join Team Taz.
No.
But that happened. And we loved it.
Like, there's many of things that we're like, there's no way they do that. And then they, oh my God, they did it. It's just, I think they laid something here to maybe test the waters of the crowd. I say fuck it. Do it for a little bit. I think you have them take Daniel Garcia away from 2.0, and you have them take Wheeler Yuta away from Best Friends.
You know what I was just thinking, too?
I think that's
been kind of seeds planted on BTE a little bit. Like,
yeah.
With the Wheeler Yuta and Trent Beretta, like, gimmick segments, yeah. Like...
It would make so much sense if they take...
Because, wait a minute, didn't that also make it on to an episode of Dynamite once, too, when Yuta came out, or when Trent came out and Yuta,
like... did not shake Yuta's hand.
Dude, there might be something here.
Look.
And you know what? It's always weird how Garcia never starts anything, but he always has to end up fighting the battles that 2.0's mouth start. There's something here, dude. Have they been planting seeds for this subtly for months?
And I think if they do this, this takes Danielson and Moxley away from the world title picture for now.
Obviously, yeah.
Because we know Adam Cole is going to probably go to it in MJF, and we CM Punk's probably around there. So it's like
Adam Cole versus MJF to decide the next championship.
Exactly. So the main title's a little full right now. Let's run this for fucking 4 months. Let's actively have them try and get Daniel Garcia, Wheeler Yuta, and maybe let's get a woman in there. Let's get Layla someone Hirsch. In there, bro. Let's get a Layla in there. Let's get a Red Velvet. Let's get someone in that group. And then they take that to the next level too. I don't know. The ideas are fucking limitless. I'm with you. I really hope they don't just drop this.
Yeah, it's going to be – they opened Dynamite – hot this week. Like, that was crazy. That was some buzz, you know?
Agreed. We get a recap showcasing the feud between MJF and CM Punk. That's our main event. We return from commercial break and Brandy's in the ring. Brandy says everyone is so nice in Cleveland or Chicago, wherever they are. I cringed. Dan Lambert, Scorpio Sky, Ethan Page come out. Lambert begins insulting Brandy. There was a couple funny ones.
Yeah, I can't remember what he said exactly. But
I'm not going to go into specifics, but there was some funny stuff. And then this is the line that's got people thinking. Brandi Rhodes goes, I don't know why you're laughing, Ethan. The only reason why we hired you was to get close to Josh Alexander. My God. Impact Wrestling's Josh Alexander's contract has been rumored to be up. So.
He's
a wrestler. He'll put on good matches.
I'm Anthony Green first.
All right. Hey, man. Hopefully his time might be moving on. That's what sucks.
I know.
But
because the longer they wait on him, somebody like Impact is going to offer Anthony Green, be like, hey, this Anthony Green guy's unsigned right now. We should just sign him. And you know what? I'm going to say it right now, everybody. The Impact show that I talked about doing months ago. If Anthony Green goes to Impact, I'm going to start it because I want to follow that guy.
I think 100%.
So Tony Khan. Do your job. All right.
Brandy then slaps him, but it's like a kitty slap. It was so weird. He also mentioned something about her cannons. Like, oh, man, it was just weird. It was weird, weird, weird. But hey, maybe it worked for some people. To me, it just kind of felt awkward. I'm not going to say weird. Weird's the wrong term.
Mic and it doesn't have Cody also there to be like what she's talking about. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't buy. I just feel like, why is she feuding with them right now? I don't get it. Like,
and then to make it worse, we go into overbooking territory. Way overbooked the shit out of this. He goes, I figured you were in a feisty mood, so I have something for you. To the surprise of no one, Paige Van Zandt comes out, looking great, if I may say. And she attacks Brandy, and the entire locker room, the locker room comes out, and the wrestlers are there to break up the fight.
Like, who cares? Like,
I think they just overbooked that.
Like, who cares?
I agreed. Who cares? But I think this was an oversight. A little bit too much overbooking.
Like, there is stuff you could do with I would love for Brandy to be in a similar position to, like, how the Elite are viewed and how Cody is viewed. If you pick up a random win over Brandy, it should be important. Like,
I love what they're doing with her on Dark, wrestling all these really good independent women.
Yeah, but then none of them are going to win. Like, if one of them were to beat her and then get a title shot or something, that would be crazy. You know what I mean? Like,
agreed. But, so I'm guessing this is setting up Paige Van Zandt versus Brandy at Revolution.
Ew.
It really doesn't get my giblets rolling.
Sorry. I like them both, but, like, I just don't think this could be that good of a match.
Yeah,
like,
no, it's, hopefully it's, yeah. Hey, maybe they'll shock us. Hardy Family Office has a backstage promo.
Oh, did they? Really?
Matt Hardy's telling Private Party that he's upset for them for not winning the AEW tag team titles. Andrade Alito appears and asks Hardy what happened last week. Hardy asks why Darby Allin is not signed, and Andrade says he's working on it. And then, like, Matt Hardy grabs Isaiah's face, and he's like, you are one last hope. You need to win. That's what makes me think, man. They're teeing up this Darby thing, and then all of a sudden he shows up. There's no way he didn't just show up, man. And then,
we'll see.
Side note, the Blade was there, but no Butcher. And also, the Blade looked like a fucking character out of Mortal Kombat.
Isn't Butcher one of those ones we talked about this contract potentially being up?
No, I think with him, well, his band just broke up too, so I don't know what's going on with him. But they don't always have everyone in that AHFO. That's what kind of makes it interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we're going to get into my new favorite tag team here.
Oh.
The Knights of the Black Throne.
So we actually, that's what their name is. So why do they keep calling them the House of Black? I mean, I get
that. So the House of Black is going to be the, it's what their
faction is called.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of it as like a god thing, like a temple, right? And the Knights of the Black Throne is the tag team of the House of Black.
So they're kind
of
like the evil Knights Templar a little bit. Okay.
Essentially, yeah. So say the House of Black consists of, you know, two tag teams, right? Say it consists of Private Party and the Knights of the Black Throne.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
no, I got you. I got
beautiful you. Tag name. I'm such a sucker for this type of shit. This is just, that's my personality. That's just what I love to watch. And
bro, I remember you being super into Tommy End when nobody knew who he was. Like,
I love the look, and then he becomes Aleister Black, and that's my favorite wrestler. And it's just like, and then he teams up with Ricochet, who was my first. Like favorite.
Dude, that match was so ridiculously good. I still remember the segment where Velveteen, it's like 2 weeks before that program starts, and Velveteen it just is about to start a thing with him for the North American title. And he just hits that jump out of the ring, and the actual reaction of Velveteen to this day. I know Velveteen's not good anymore, but just that reaction was one of the greatest things ever. Oh,
so beautiful. And they wrestle Pac and Penta El Zero Pentagon. Pac comes out with his Daredevil blind. Oh my god, this shit is so fucking cool, man. I really wanted to pick this as my favorite, but at the same time, they didn't really have a true match.
I joked about him wrestling in a blindfold. I didn't think he'd actually do it.
And then he actually fucking did it. And he made it work. He is literally Daredevil.
I need to see Orange Cassidy restricted to only having his hands in his pockets versus blindfolded Pac.
I'm not going to lie to you, man. This wasn't long, right? Because obviously they were saving their 45.
What is it about? Dude, okay. Why does Malakai Black's matches always so short? I don't understand.
Because I think two things. The main event, and they're just...
But this was in the first hour. They could have given this time.
Hey, man. That main event, by 9:13, they were panning to it already. But yeah, Malakai and Brody King, the Knights of the Black Throne, the potential is unfucking real with these guys. Because they can go in the ring with any of these tag teams. Garrett, I'm just picturing FTR. I'm picturing the Young Bucks. I'm picturing Private Party. I'm picturing Jurassic Express.
I mean, think about them versus Best Friends, how physical those guys are. I mean, like...
I would love to see if they extended this match to the pay-per-view. Not going to lie. I would like if this is our tag match, that's not for the titles at the pay-per-view. And we let these guys get a fucking 20-minute just barn burner. Five and a half star match. The Knights of the Black Throne etched their fucking selves in the history of AEW. I'm putting this over, but I'm more or less, it's the idea of it. But anything else you speak out?
I will say that would be great for the bet to be like the other. Nothing really stuck out to me. I thought it was great for both teams. I will say I think the non-title tag match we're gonna get is probably gonna be Ruby and Thunder versus Mercedes and Nyla, probably, because they've been kind of like not doing. I don't think either of those matches are making the pay per view individually. I don't think.
Do we know who Britt Baker's facing yet?
It's neither of those two. At least we know that much.
That's what's Jesus. Adam Cole will cut the promo.
Chris Statlander, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Well, no, I don't know. She's with Layla right now, so.
I don't know,
Adam Cole cut the promo and says that he is tired of hearing about Orange Cassidy and wants more respect. Cole says he'll be wrestling Evil Uno on this week on Rampage. And that match lasted about as long as my speaking there. Ruby Soho versus Nyla Rose. I know you want to talk about this match a little bit.
Yeah, it was way better than I thought it would be. Not that I didn't think it'd be good. It was a really good match. Like, I don't know. These two just have some interesting chemistry. I don't know. For some reason, on paper, this match doesn't sound that good, but it actually is. Like, I don't know. Like, I just, Ruby Soho is, again, super underrated. Like, she just has good matches with everybody. And a lot of people will think that it's the other person in the match that makes it good because she just, but like, it's,
Nyla Rose, something about this like little feud just makes Nyla Rose seem so much more intimidating. Probably the size difference. I mean, like,
yeah, Nyla Rose is just phenomenal at being the bigger person in the match.
Of being the big meat.
Yeah, she works great as being the big meat. And yeah, I'm with you, man. And I want to say, so there were these fucking moronic zombie skull fucking nimwits.
Okay.
That were saying.
Wrestling Twitter, go on.
That were saying, oh my God, that botch at the end. That's just so embarrassing. You know what's embarrassing is your dumbass not realizing that was a callback to the spot that they had in their last match. Nyla Rose scouted the kick, didn't go for it, and then fucking won right after. You really think that was a botch?
Yeah, I don't think that I was thinking the same thing. I don't think that they thought that she could hit Nyla. She's not tall enough.
Yeah, that's how she beat Nyla before. Nyla leaned forward and got kicked. And Nyla, in her previous matches, has been known to scout when she faces someone twice. This is how she's won the title. And the second time, she scouted it. So it just looked weird.
It would have looked better with literally anybody else, probably. Yeah,
it's just because it looked weird. But this was not a botch. And I feel like people are always just out of their way, like those fucking, you know what I'm talking about, those zombie nimwit fucking idiots that just go out of their way to.
These are the same kinds of people that when Nyla first came out, that they were instantly against her. It's the same people, like.
Yeah, so they're going out of their way to pick on her. I'm dwelling on this for too long, but this was a beautiful. This is the verisimilitude of the match. We saw Ruby pin her with this. And now that's how she fucking got out of it. That was, yeah. Anyways, we get a backstage promo featuring the Gun Club. They start beating down Jungle Boy. This is kind of good, man. They're in the fucking street just beating this kid's ass, throwing him into snow. And then Christian Cage and Luchasaurus finally appear. As they're just, I imagine them running down the street in their drawers. This jumping Jungle Boy. By the way, when they threw him into the door, he totally smacked his back on that pole. Oh, God, that had a fucking hurt.
Yikes, buddy, that was not fun.
That sets up our title match for next week, which I'm actually excited about. I know a lot of people hate the Ass Boys. I
pushed out the Revolution, man. I kind of like this feud. Like,
maybe Ass Boys will win and then rematch that Revolution.
The Ass Boys! I would love... Dude, that would be actually awesome. A really super short title reign and then you crown the fucking Gun Club, bro. That'd be cool.
And then we get our interview setting up the main event.
Dies.
Yeah, Tony Schiavone's in the ring. He interviews Hangman. He begins promoting next week's Texas Death Match against Lance Archer. Before we jump into that, where's your excitement level for that match?
I mean, it'll be fun. Yeah. I'm sure there'll be some really brutal stuff. And Lance Archer is a very, very talented wrestler. He just fucked up and almost died. You know, like he needed to fucking rein it in a little bit.
Let's do this how we do with movies. On a 1 to 10 of your excitement scale, right?
Probably like a 6 or a 7, I would say.
Okay, so you're actually like,
I'm up. I'm there for it. It could be really bad, right? Death matches can either be really good or really stupid. Lance Archer is not the kind of guy that would participate in a really stupid one, I don't think.
No, agreed. I think the booking of the feud has been pretty fun. It's been pretty a little bit run-of-the-mill, but I mean, I wish this was...
Bro, what if Suzuki comes out during the fucking death match? He just bites fucking...
I just can't help but wonder, how would we feel if this was Miro in this exact spot?
It's probably who it would have been, right? Maybe. What? Where is Miro?
Miro got in that white box, got lost in the quantum realm, and is fucking. I don't know where he's at.
He's being held captive by what's the guy's name? The guy from
MODOK. Loki. I don't know.
No, the guy from Loki. Anyway, Kang the Conqueror. Been held by Kang the Conqueror. Evil Kang. All right. No, Samuel actually, Richards. He's being helped by evil Doctor Strange. That's who it is, you know.
Everybody dies.
The song slaps, man.
That's a good song.
Lance Archer is awesome. I like him. He's really cool. Like, he's the big man that can move, but he's actually the big man that can move that I always talk about wanting, you know, like he just might die.
Yeah. Moonfall, Hangman, you know? Knows Lance wants a Texas death match, but he quote really doesn't give a shit.
Oh, Hangman needs some. Okay. Bruh. I can't believe I'm saying this. If anybody in the history of wrestling needs scripted promos, I think it's Hangman, man.
Yeah.
I love him, but he's just... I understand that's why people love him so much, because he's just so genuine, you know? But, like...
Yeah.
Give him a little bit of something. Maybe they give him the bullet points, and he's just like, fuck the bullet points, you know?
And this is what I'll say. I'll give my rating here. So I think my excitement rating right now is at a 4, right? Which would be a rotten... But I'm gonna say why. I don't think it's gonna be a bad match. Right? I don't know how well they're gonna clash together, but to me, Hangman had Powerhouse Hobbs' best match was with Hangman. He clearly knows how to work well with big guys. Lance Archer's proven he can go in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
I just think what hurts it for me, it's not a Dynamite. We know who's gonna win.
I didn't tell you what's hurting it for you. This has been a quite underwhelming title reign so far, as much as people don't want to admit it.
Yeah, it was just him and Danielson. I mean, I enjoyed that.
That stuff has all been good, but after that, it's all been like,
what we need to get on. And I know that this is a transitional challenger, but I think that's why it's a transitional challenger. I think that's why for me, instead of getting a 6 and being, you know, certified fresh, I think for me it's a 4 right now, just because Lance just came back. He wasn't in the rankings. I wish if they were doing a transitional challenger, it would have been
rankings. It just restarted. There's no rankings. They didn't have any rankings when he came back, so it didn't matter.
I know, but it's just like...
Hangman called for a challenger, so the rankings don't matter in that situation.
I just can't help but imagine if Miro was in this spot. It would be a 6 or maybe
yeah, where, like a 5. Why aren't they using Miro? It's crazy. It's crazy.
Like Lance just...
It almost feels like they're going to bring Miro back to beat Sammy. You know what I mean? Like,
I enjoyed seeing Jake the Snake out there. It's always nice hearing him talk after everything he went through. And yeah, you know, good for him for being out there and for being on AEW. His legacy continues. But yeah. Chris Jericho calls out Santana and Ortiz. I'm so fucking over this. For disrespecting and embarrassing him last week by not tagging him. He demands a mandatory meeting next week on Dynamite. Let's just hope they beat the living fuck out of him and we get it over with.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Is that
fair? I'm over to this. Say? It's so bad. It took away two programs, basically.
I'm done with it, man. I'm over it. I'm over the Inner Circle.
It ate two programs and then ended up being nothing.
What they should have done is had Hager fucking join America Top Team and him getting a push right now. Well, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not even on fucking TV. What I mean is he could have been on TV. I don't know. I'm just – hey, man, I love Jericho, but I am over this. I've kind of been over him since we've started this podcast. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Jericho's not been in any segments you like. It's weird.
I don't know why. I love the guy. I love him on commentary.
He's great.
We get a video package setting up the match we talked about, and then let's get into it. Main event. 45 minutes. CM Punk versus MJF.
It still didn't live up to the hype, but it was really good.
It was good. I'm very, very pleased. Marshall's
killed me on both shows this week, man. This match was a victim of it, too. Even though they got 45 minutes, I felt like there was a very long commercial break.
Yeah, 45 minutes. I think that means 3 or 4 commercial breaks.
Yeah, I felt like one of them in particular I felt was particularly long, but maybe that was just because I was really into the match. But, like...
Since it's 45 minutes, as we've done before...
This match deserved to be on Revolution, man. I feel like it did.
It totally did. I mean, MJF just gave CM Punk his first fucking defeat, which we totally knew he would. Let it be known. I know everyone did, but we were passionate that MJF was not going to lose this feud.
No. MJF losing is a very rare thing.
He can't lose this feud. And he didn't. Now, we could go into different spots from this match all day. I'll point out the one for me. It's obvious. CM Punk hitting the Pepsi Plunge made me very happy.
Yes.
I think they sold a good story throughout the match with the knee, CM Punk's knee.
My knee?
And anyway, I'll get into the finisher. I mean, Wardlow comes out. We all are thinking the same thing. Is this it? Is this the turn? Does he help Punk? Does he just toss MJF in the ring? He hands him the fucking ring. That cock-sucking fucking ring. And he just boinks CM Punk over the head.
Boink.
1, 2, 3. MJF defeats CM Punk. Oh, but CM Punk's just going to AEW to run over all the talent. Well,
here's the thing.
MJF,
I think,
just whooped his ass.
I think at the end of the death match, MJF music hits.
It's time.
I think it's time. I think he's the one to dethrone the Hangman.
Or do they run Adam Cole and let him beat Adam Cole and then MJF?
Maybe. I mean, I did talk about months ago wanting to see Adam Cole lose to him so that you could set that up later for Omega versus Cole. But you don't have to do that right away.
But I know some people could probably talk about that match for 30 minutes, but the reality is, I mean, it was really good. There was some great story, lots of counters. It was just a fun match to watch. It was a fun wrestling match. I would not be surprised if it got like 4.5 stars, 4.25, maybe. Probably 4.25.
Yeah, it's definitely the most anticipated match they've had so far this year. So
yeah, and I'd say it checks some boxes. I agree with you. I would have loved this on Revolution, but maybe they just...
Maybe the plan is MJF versus Hangman at Revolution.
I'm cool with that.
Maybe that's the plan. Maybe this is the setup for that. I don't know, because MJF has sort of been on this like sort of last 6 months trajectory. Has been completely separate from the title scene, you know? Like, so we'll have to see.
What a fucking talent, man. I love him, Jeff.
So good. He's so good. And it was a hell of a way to close the show. This was the image of MJF sitting cross-legged in the ring with Wardlow in the background and CM Punk laid flat in the middle of the ring. It's just an image that it's going to go down in history, you know?
MJF gave CM Punk his first ever loss in AEW.
He'll be able to say that forever now, too.
In Chicago.
Oh, so good.
This is how it's done, man. And you know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna give a little pat on the back to CM Punk. He didn't have to do that. He did not have to fight. He could have just fucking...
He kind of did, though. Like, he could have won it, but
he didn't even have to feud with MJF. He could have just fucking done his thing. Probably beaten the shit out of all, you know?
Honestly, we love Tony Khan. If CM Punk had said, "I'll only come in if you make me the world champion," he would have made him world champion. Let's be honest.
He probably would have had him build up for like 6 months.
And he wouldn't have just given him the championship, but he would have made him the champion.
Guys like Lance Archer, like Miro, yep. Guys that yep. don't mind taking the L, probably yeah. had him eventually beat Cody, and then there you go. And then he goes on to be the world champion, but no.
God, imagine if Cody cut that promo we cut in the ring on Punk. Oh my God.
Oh, I'm ready for that. That's going to happen. Those guys are going to feud, and it's going to be fucking ugly and beautiful.
Maybe that's his next feud, because he did directly call him out, so...
Yeah. So let's hop into Rampage.
Okay.
We've covered most of it, but we had a... By 5 minutes on my DVR, Adam Cole versus Evil Uno was over. I'm looking at this thing, and they're talking about the notes of the match. It's not even a paragraph. Garrett. The Evil Uno crushing fucking defeat here, man. I was not expecting it, but if it is, here's what I will say. Here's what I'm going to back the decision on. Ready?
Okay.
Adam Cole's pissed the fuck off.
Yes.
He hates Orange Cassidy.
Uh huh.
Adam Cole brought his A game, and when an elite wrestler brings their A game, sometimes even if you're like a C tier wrestler like Evil Uno, you could probably normally go if we're gonna kayfabe it up a little bit. You can normally go probably 15 with Adam Cole. Pissed off Adam Cole, beat your ass in 4 minutes. You didn't do shit.
Yeah, it's like when you're really, it's like when you don't care about the star rating when you're playing a game, match in 2K. Pissed, dude. You know?
That is a great way of putting it. Adam Cole wanted blood. And real quick, I'll talk about what he did after the match. He just starts calling people out. And I know there was a mention in there for you. He goes, Adam Cole calls out Frankie, Jungle Boy, Anthony Green, John Silver, Yuta, Orange Cassidy, Atlas, Khan, and Evil Uno, and says all they have in common is because he's undefeated in AEW because last week doesn't exist. We all know what
Adam Cole knows. Anthony Green is legit.
100. He put some emphasis on that name. And Adam Cole, this is what's so good. He's like, it doesn't exist to him, but we all know it exists because now Adam Cole is fucking pissed off. Adam Cole's got some fire to him finally.
He said the unsaid thing about Adam Cole, which we always talk about, which is no matter where he goes, they do not have a spot for him, you know?
Yeah, man. And now, it pretty even much only he's a champion of anything certain, he'll become AEW World Champion, yeah. Which kind of leads into the last thing we were talking about. Is it going to be Cole or MJF next? One of them will challenge him.
Do you remember that, man? He was NXT champion, but the biggest feud on the roster, if it hadn't been for injuries, was Tommaso versus Johnny. And we all know it.
Yeah.
But we would have still loved what Adam Cole was doing.
Oh, yeah. Adam Cole will be AEW World Champion.
Oh, no, yeah. I'm saying, but like, he just never has. It's never his time whenever he needs it to be, you know, which sucks. Like,
it's sweet.
But hey, whatever. Jade was on the show briefly.
Yeah. And that bitch show, and we're going to see her become 27-0. She says she's green just like money. I love it. That is the best thing she could say. That is just, yeah. That is the ultimate just fucking, I love it. I love it. I love Jade. Jade is money, dude. Jade literally feels like a bigger star than Britt Baker right now in terms of like how they're treating her. I saw a side, like, dude, just, I don't know. Jade has the potential to be their biggest star.
The championship belt that she's carrying looks better. Anyway.
So we got our Sammy match. We talked about after the break of that. And then we get back from the break, and Tony Schiavone is backstage with Chris Statlander. He asks Chris why she doesn't like Layla Hirsch. Tony, what the fuck, dude? You've been watching? It's because Layla's a cunt. Sorry. Chris said Layla has a bad attitude, and even though Layla has an amateur wrestling background, she should act like a professional.
You can't say that!
And then, right on cue, the See You Next Tuesday comes out and drills Chris with a running knee to the with a chair. And we head back
now to the ring. Now I'm going to have to fucking fight Layla Hirsch. What the hell, Charlie?
No, I'm saying in terms of her character
is
very mean. Someone will laugh at that. That's fucking brilliant. but yeah, dude. Layla and Chris, it's heating up. We're getting some blood.
Yeah, this feud could end up being a wet fart, or it could be really good.
I think they're going to let them fucking like main event a Dynamite or Rampage.
That'd be good. I hope they do. They clearly know what they have in Layla, so that's good.
And I've said it before. I think maybe even including Ruby, I think Chris Statlander might be their best wrestler on the roster.
That's fair.
Thunder Rosa versus Thunder Mercedes Rosa. Martinez. There was some nice lore after the match, but
we also had a little tease that Hook's taking on a random member of the factory no one's seen. I thought that was good. That'd be good.
Yeah, Hook in action. But what did you think of this? Thunder Rosa and Mercedes Martinez.
Underdelivered a little bit. I mean, it was a shorter match than I would hoped it had been. It looked like it was going to be fun, except it just ended on a DQ. Like
the metal pipe.
I did say, and you did say, we might get a lot of DQs for a little while now that they can get away with it. Please don't make this a regular thing. It's one thing that I hate about WWE.
Yeah, but please just not in title matches too. I can't do like, it, man. I can't do the title match.
But you know what? It felt like the same level of robbed I felt from a title match because I've been wanting to see this match because I've been building it up for like 6 years now. Like,
well, I think you might be getting some good news here. After the match, pretty much we get a video package of Serena Deeb. Tony's backstage with Mercedes Martinez holding the metal pipe she just used to knock out Thunder Rosa. And then she tells everyone why she was there, and that's by any means necessary. And then AEW Women's Champion Britt Baker comes into the screen. It says it's not what she wanted, and she brought her in because Jamie couldn't get the job done.
I think that might be your next feud then, man.
We've been saying, man, Jamie versus Britt could be the money. She says, don't forget to sign the check. It's DMD. So Britt Baker paid Mercedes Martinez to beat up Thunder Rosa.
With Britt Baker's money, apparently. What?
Which, yeah, it's to, well, hey, no. In kayfabe, I believe Britt Baker's very rich. She got some dough. And she hired Mercedes behind Tony's back. Yeah, this might be teeing up Thunder Rosa versus Britt, though. I'm going to be honest, man. Why wouldn't it?
It could be. It could be. That would make sense.
And I mean, if that's the route, please God, let's change this up a little bit, huh?
Thunder Rosa becomes AEW Women's World Champion.
I'd love it.
It'd be awesome.
And then our last thing we'll talk about, because we covered our main event back from the break, AEW President Tony Khan will have a huge announcement this Wednesday. And we'll talk about that in a second, but...
Dude, the pre-match promo for the main event this week was actually awesome.
It's time for the main event.
I usually hate these segments, but this one was actually good because it had Jay Lethal and freaking Ricky Starks in it. And they actually, I want to see a promo battle between those two now, like an actual full-on promo battle.
So, thumbs up, thumbs down, World Garrett, AEW this week. I mean, Rampage was, I really wouldn't even have to ask it. This is Rampage! Rampage is like the ultimate thumbs up. Dynamite had some awkward, but also had some good. I mean, I can't thumbs down a CM Punk MJF 45-minute match.
Nah, you can't. They gave that match the time, and yeah.
I'm never going to be mad. I am never, ever going to be mad about a feud that's been built for 2 months getting a 45-minute match on Dynamite. I will never be mad about that.
We didn't talk about it, but during the Chris Statlander promo, Layla hit a really stiff forearm. Someone needs to tell her not to hit those all the time, or she's going to knock somebody out. Like, damn. Dude,
hence why. Tony Khan has an announcement, Garrett.
I think
we like to end our show looking forward to next week.
I think he's announcing the cancellation of all the women in aid. No, I'm just kidding. There's no more women. It's only men.
No more women.
We've canceled the women's division. It's going to Stardom. No, anyway.
So real quick, on Dynamite next week, we got the Texas Deathmatch World Championship match. Inner Circle team meeting. Jesus. Tony Khan's announcement, MJF speaks, and a qualifying match for the face-to-face, Face of the Revolution ladder match, which we'll talk about in 2 seconds. Rampage, we got Hook versus Blake Lee, and the AEW Tag Team Championship match, Jurassic Express versus Ass Boys.
There's some Ass Boys!
So, this is what, while that might seem on paper, what we're going to read, I'm going to read off a couple Tony Khan tweets that talk about his announcement Wednesday. He says, as referenced on Rampage, I have a surprise. On Dynamite, live on TBS, a top wrestler will walk through the Forbidden Door this Wednesday and debut in AEW. More info to come. Thank you to everyone who joined us for a great Rampage tonight. See you Wednesday on TBS. 11 minutes later, he says, the Forbidden Door can be open for anyone from any wrestling promotion in the world, whether or not it's a company AEW is on good terms with, even if it's from a company that's open for business. They're also welcome to slam the door. They're also welcome to slam the door in the face of the prior company. And then he goes on to say, 2 minutes later, with a great showing in tonight's Rampage TNT title bout, Isaiah Cassidy has earned a qualifying match for a spot in the Face of the Revolution ladder match with a TNT title shot at stake. His opponent will debut Wednesday plus sign a contract with AEW. Isaiah versus who? Garrett, you already know I love seeing that, by the way. Isaiah just jumping immediately into another singles match.
I love it.
I think I'm just going to run through one name, well, maybe a couple. I think right now, the one everyone's hoping and might seem like the most obvious is Keith Lee.
Okay.
I think the shocker could be Shane McMahon. What? I'm just... How are you feeling if it's Keith Lee?
If it's Keith Lee, I'd be super down.
Super down. Isaiah Cassidy, Keith Lee.
Him and Mia Yim show up, that'd be insane.
They just got married yesterday too as well.
Yeah, I know. So you'd think they would show up together. He would be stupid not to sign them both. Like...
Johnny Wrestling.
But as who I'm thinking, I mean, I would think for a technical match with Isaiah Cassidy, that makes the most sense.
And then we got Samoa Joe, Josh Alexander, maybe. But
that would be cool.
What are your thoughts on if it's Shane McMahon? That second tweet makes you think, oh my God, what if it is? That'd be fucking nuts.
No, I hope not.
I hope not too, but we cannot deny how fucking
because if it does, you know what people are going to say is, oh, clearly they're about to buy AEW.
Vince just kind of publicly fired him though. Hey man.
Why do you think that was, by the way?
Probably it's because he went his own way in the Rumble, but I don't fucking care.
Like what? Like he was supposed to like win it or something?
I don't know. He like went toe-to-toe with Matt Riddle and like some other stuff, and I guess maybe they didn't want him to do that. They canceled this whole program that he had, so it's like...
This is also the guy that had wrestled The Undertaker. Like, what?
Yeah. And it could be shock. I mean, it definitely could be like a New Japan guy, Tanahashi. It could be Okada.
Will Ospreay.
There's some more WWE guys that were released that I'd love to see, but
I would love for it to be like somebody random, like that you wouldn't even expect. Like, I don't know. I feel like the problem with all the recent signings has been that they don't feel like they're prioritizing the right things. Like, I feel like they're just trying to sign people for like the shock value almost, which is good, but as we've seen with the guys that have done it so far, if you don't have something interesting for them to do, they're just going to fade into the background, you know, like, yeah, I don't know, man. Like I try not to buy into this stuff when he like pre-announces it like this, cause it almost always never lives up to the hype that he puts on it. Like, and I hate saying that, but
or it's always the obvious one. And I think the obvious one's Keith Lee, right?
I mean, if it's Keith Lee, that's great. But Keith Lee, the problem with a guy like Keith Lee is he never really got really going in the WWE, you know,
that means all the more power for him.
But it makes me wonder, is it worth shoving him straight into the limelight? Because we've seen them do that a couple of times and it just not really work out for the guy that they're trying to do it with. And like, because they're not ready. And then they have to like pull back, you know, it's happened a few times, you know, like.
And what about Jeff Hardy?
I think that would be cool. I think that'd be a really cool opponent for Isaiah Cassidy, especially because of all the comparisons that he's been making between, like, every time Matt Hardy considers them the two best wrestlers, two best. It'd be almost kind of cool if this was Matt Hardy teaching him a lesson, you know?
And I want to give you another name of a wrestler whose contract just ran out. But okay. This man's contract ran out with New Japan, and that's Juice Robinson.
I can see them winning Juice.
There's a
do you think there's a Juice good chance that it's... I think there's a chance that this is somebody from Ring of Honor. Like,
oh my! If it's Bandito, I'm screaming, dude. I'm not kidding you.
That's who I was thinking. Like, maybe they'll do that with like Dante. They should do this more than once in this tournament and do it with Dante and make it Bandito. Make it happen, Tony.
I'm so happy. That's something I really like about Tony. There is no fucking shot he originally had Isaiah Cassidy just rolling, ready to go for next Wednesday.
He might have, man. I don't know. Like, he books everything a year out.
Because when they announced it on Rampage, there was not an opponent in that match. They did not know who was in it. They just said there was going to be a qualifying match. And then later on that night, he posts a tweet with Isaiah's picture in it. I hope this is going to be me hopeful here. I hope he does actually take into account how good he just wasn't, how much he was just impressed by Cassidy. And he was like, you know what? I was going to use Tony Nese here. I was going to use, you know, Daniel Garcia here, but you know what? Let's give me Cassidy again. Let's do it.
I'm trying to think of who would match up well against Cassidy, and there's only a couple that I can really think of off the top of my head that just are, you know.
Oh, I mean, he'd go nuts with Bandito. I think Keith Lee would get a great match out of him. But those are such special talents. I mean, we're talking Bandito and Keith Lee are elite talents. Those are truly the only elite ones.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I really want to see where they go with all this stuff right now. Because at this point, I'm just like, I feel like there's a lot of uncertainty with regard to a lot of the stuff going on in AEW right now, because it's just kind of in a flux state right now where we're not quite building to Revolution yet, but we've kind of also sort of been building to Revolution for several months now.
Yep.
It's really weird. Once we get in the last few weeks, I think it'll start to be more clear. It's weird. AEW doesn't do what WWE does. WWE will book an entire month around.
I mean,
this could
also be like Jonathan Gresham, man. I mean, Zack Sabre. I mean, this could be nuts.
And whoever it is signing. So it has to be someone who's available. Like, it does. Like, what if this is the Titan, bro? Like, people think there's no way they're interested in signing Strowman. There's some interest. There's no way there's none. They have multiple big men already that could help them. You know, like.
Yeah.
Adam Schur, baby.
Hey, if there's a will, there's a way. Lindsay,
there's a will.
Yes, sir. All right, guys. That'll be it for us tonight. We hope you enjoyed the show. Like I said, catch Garrett streaming all week. If you stuck all the way through the end of this, fucking thank you, man. We really appreciate it.
I'm low energy this week, guys. I apologize. I've just been really exhausted lately. I don't know why.
Hey, it did not come through on the mic, so you are all good.
Other than that,
I'm going to let John Cena take us out, and we'll catch you guys next week as we talk about the newest AEW World Champion and the newest signing.
Everybody dies.
What are you doing, Step Lance?
What are you doing, Step Bro?
Justin Herbert, that's a nice fish.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Granger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.